We continue now with the preaching of the Word of God, and I would like to invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read from verses 1 through 11, but our sermon this morning is based on the first three verses of chapter 5, Matthew 5, 1 through 3. So hear the word of God. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for the privilege and the blessing to come to your word once again. Help us, O Lord, to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this portion of the scriptures. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, our sermon passage is Matthew 5, 1 through 3. I would like to read it again. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So as you can tell, we will meditate on the introduction, so to say, to the Beatitudes and study the first Beatitudes, Blessed are the poor in spirit. As you know, it is always important not to come to one portion of the scripture apart from its context. Otherwise, we will misinterpret the scripture, get the wrong message. It is always important to see it in its context. And the immediate context is Matthew 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's the context of Matthew chapter 5. And we learn from Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, that from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And next, we read from 4:18 through 22, that he called the first disciples, four fishermen that he called as disciples. And then we read that Jesus was healing a great multitude in the last portion of Matthew 4. So, brothers and sisters, it is in the context of the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth that we come to the Beatitudes, to Matthew chapter 5. And this is what we read. in Matthew chapter 4:25 that great multitudes follow him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So great multitudes, hundreds, thousands, were following him from different cities. But not all of them, not each person following the Lord Jesus Christ was a disciple of Christ. Not everyone who follows Jesus is truly a disciple of Christ. And this is what we read in verse 5. And Matthew wants us to see that reality of the multitudes versus Jesus' disciples. And we read, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. You see, he saw the multitudes, the crowds coming, following him. But then we read that when he was seated and ready to teach, his disciples came to him. So Matthew, the evangelist, wants us to see that the Sermon on the Mount is first of all for Jesus' disciples. It is for those who already belong to the kingdom of God. It is for the multitudes as well, no doubt about that. We read from Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 in verses 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, Jesus goes up to the mountain. His disciples come to him. He teaches them. But later the multitudes also came, so they heard our Lord giving this instruction to his disciples. But once again, the Beatitudes are for those that already belong to the kingdom of God, as we will see later, are for the church of Christ, are for believers. Notice something else, that our Lord, when he saw the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. It's very interesting that Matthew records that detail, that Jesus saw the multitudes and he thought, this is not the right place to teach my disciples. It seems that Jesus was trying to be away from the multitudes in order to be with his disciples, with those who were already members of the kingdom of God. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. Another detail that we gather from Matthew 5:1 is the fact that Jesus went up on a mountain. We don't know exactly what mountain that was, but the fact that he went up on a mountain points to a very important event in the Old Testament. You boys and girls, remember that when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, Moses also went up on a mountain, the Mount of Sinai. He went up to that mountain. And we see that parallel here, the same idea of Jesus going up on a mountain. But what happened when Moses went up to the Mount Sinai? What happened there? Was it Moses himself who gave the law to the people of Israel? No, it was God who gave his law to the people of Israel through Moses. But in this case, our Lord, he goes up on a mountain and he is not receiving the law from God, but it is himself who is giving his law, his instruction, his teaching to the people of God. So in this, we already see that Jesus Christ is the new Moses, or greater than Moses. He's greater of all people. And in this case, we see that Jesus is God himself, who goes up to the mountain, and from his own mouth, he teaches his disciple. He teaches his people. But what is the nature of this instruction, of this sermon, as it has been called? What is the nature, the character of this instruction? Well, that's what we gather from the second part of verse 1, when we read, "And when he was seated, his disciples came to him." You see, that detail that Matthew provides is very important, because in the time of Jesus, in the New Testament time in Israel, the rabbis, the doctors of the law, the teachers of Israel, like Nicodemus, they didn't teach standing, but they were sitting while they were teaching, while they were giving instruction. And that was the custom in that time, which meant that when a scribe, an expert on the law, sat to teach, that was an official teaching. It was an important time to pay attention, to listen to the instruction. It was an official teaching. And secondly, together with the idea of being an official teaching, when a rabbi sat to teach, that teaching had authority. It was an authoritative, that was a hard word for me to say, it was a teaching with authority. So we see our Lord and Savior teaching officially to his people and doing it with authority, with power. That's what we read from Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that the multitudes, the people were astonished as his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. So, brothers and sisters, when we come to the Sermon on the Mount, when we come to the teaching of Jesus, let us not be negligent. Let us not be as one who is just reading this passage, this portion of the scripture that we are so familiar with, and miss the fact that one greater than Moses, that is the Son of God, is officially and with all authority teaching his church, teaching his people. What a wonderful blessing we have to receive this teaching from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the idea that is emphasized in verse 2. Notice how Matthew says, "Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." We understand, right, that when we teach, we open our mouth to teach. But Matthew, as a Hebrew, as a Jew, as one who knew the Old Testament, he is resembling, you know, those passages in the Old Testament when every time we read that God spoke, right? God spoke. He gave his instruction, his law, his commandments. And this is also what we read here, that Jesus opened his mouth. You see, this teaching is proceeding from the very mouth, from the very lips of our Lord and Savior. Isn't that a reason to pay attention, to listen, to hear the instruction of our Lord? What great is his Lord, his love and his compassion to us, that he was teaching his disciples. He taught them, saying, and once again, remember, this teaching, this instruction is given, first of all, to his disciples. It's given to you and me this morning. It's given with this intimacy between our Lord and His people. And then he begins with the first beatitude in verse 3. And we read the following: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is this beatitude about? First of all, brothers and sisters, we have to notice that there is a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus came to do his earthly ministry, he didn't come to destroy or to do away with the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the word of God. That is what we read in Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So, the first word where we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, is already an Old Testament word. We find it throughout the Old Testament. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you. For example, if we go to Psalm 1:1 uses the same word. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is that man. Now, if we go to our call to worship reading this morning, Psalm 32, you will notice that we also find that very same word. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There are more passages in the Old Testament that points to the same direction. And what is the idea of these passages in the Old Testament? Is the psalmist talking to unbelievers in Psalm 1 and Psalm 32? Is the psalmist speaking of those who are not yet children of God? No. It is speaking of those who already belong to the kingdom of God. It is speaking of those who belong by God's grace to the covenant of grace. He's speaking of the ones who are converted, the ones who repented, the ones who have been forgiven. So when we come to the first beatitude, and that is so fundamental for us to understand, and Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's actually declaring that those who are in union with him, those who are receiving his teaching, are already blessed. You see, the first beatitude is not telling us what we need to do in order to be blessed, but it's actually describing, it's telling us that we are already blessed. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that we do not come to the Sermon of the Mount thinking, oh, all that I read here, I cannot fulfill. That is true. No one can fulfill that. But when we forget that it's written and it's given to the people of God, then we become anxious, desperate. We have no hope. Because who is truly poor in spirit? Only those who have been redeemed and washed by the blood of Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Something else, brothers and sisters, that we know from this word blessed is the fact that it is an exclamation. It is an expression that communicated real joy and happiness. As we read Psalm 1 and Psalm 32, commentators translate those words like, all the happiness, all the blessedness, all the blessing of those who are forgiven. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is actually saying to you and me. He is rejoicing in the fact that we are in Him by His grace and mercy. And He's telling you and me, oh, how blessed you are. Isn't that wonderful? That we are blessed. And you know, and the way that Matthew writes resembles also the Old Testament. When he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he presupposes that the blessing comes from whom? From God, right? Who is the one who actually blesses his people? It is the Lord. So, the first beatitude is declaring, is telling us that God blesses those who are poor in spirit. It is a fact. It is a given. We are blessed. But what is the meaning of the poor in spirit? Well, first of all, we have to know that the word poor that we read in Matthew 5:3 is one of the words that communicate in a very strong way those who are really poor, but that are also completely helpless in themselves. So that is the idea of poor in spirit. Those who are completely helpless, who have no strength in themselves, who acknowledge that they cannot do anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from God. And once again, this is something that we read from the Psalms and from the Old Testament. For example, Psalm 34:6. Let us read Psalm 34:6. We read the following there. Psalm 34:6. It is a psalm of David. David says, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." You see how David describes himself as a poor man, as one who needed God's help in order to be delivered from his enemies. But also in Psalm 40, another psalm of David, we read the following. Psalm 40, verse 17. David, once again, he says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." You see, now in this psalm, David is saying that he's poor and needy. And when we realize that we are poor and needy, we realize that our only help and deliverer is the Lord. And he says, "You are my help and my deliverer." So then, the first thing we learn from Matthew 5, from the first beatitude, is the fact that those who are poor are those who really need help. It refers to those who acknowledge that unless someone else comes and helps him or her, they cannot help themselves. But is poor in spirit referring to those who are financially poor, those who have no money? Because it says poor in spirit. Well, the expression itself, when we read it, poor in spirit, already tells us that Jesus is not talking about those, only of those who have no money. Poor in spirit doesn't mean financially, economically poor, that you are in material, physical poverty. It might include that idea, and many who follow Jesus were poor. But poor in spirit doesn't mean that Jesus is talking to those who have no money. No, he's not talking about them. And the Psalms that we read, Psalms 34 and 40:17, You saw how David describes himself as being poor and as being needy? Was David materially, financially poor? No, he was the king of Israel, right? He was the king of Israel. He was the anointed of the Lord. So when David says, "Help me because I'm poor and needy," he's not saying, "Give me money." No. So when Jesus then speaks of those who are poor in spirit, it is speaking of a spiritual poverty. It is speaking of those who are aware that in themselves they only deserve God's wrath and condemnation. They are aware of their own sins. They are aware of their inability to belong to the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who say, "Lord, save me. You are my help. You are my deliverer." The poor in spirit are those who follow Jesus, not because he fits them, not because he heals them only, but they follow Jesus because they have realized how sinful they are, and at the same time have realized the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who is able to help us, to deliver us, to forgive us, to save us. You see, brothers and sisters, the first requisite or requirement to belong to the kingdom of God is that we should be poor in spirit. Those who think that they can earn their salvation do not qualify to the kingdom of God. It is only those who have a contrite and humble heart. It is only those, as Matthew 11 teaches us from Jesus, that we should imitate Jesus, who is humble, who is truly humble. So the first beatitude is teaching us that only those who realize that they cannot save themselves, but they need Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, are the ones who are blessed. So from the very beginning, no arrogant, no proud man or woman can belong to the kingdom of God. But guess what? We are all arrogant and proud, aren't we? In one way or another, we think we can earn our salvation. But do you want to enjoy the blessing of God? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know that they have been saved by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and remain in the faith, not because of their own efforts, but because of the sustaining power of God. So to finish, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who, the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, that is our inheritance already. So you don't have to earn your salvation. You don't have to do this or that in order to belong to the kingdom of heaven. If you are poor in spirit, which means you are nothing in yourself, but you need the Lord, the kingdom of heaven is yours. We said that in Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And this is the way to belong to the kingdom of heaven. This is the way, the only way, to say, "Lord, I need your help. I need you. Please forgive my sins. Give me eternal life, and then the kingdom of heaven is yours." What a wonderful blessing. So when we come to the Sermon on the Mount, let us not think that these were written in order for us to earn our salvation. No one can do that. But actually, this was written in order for us to serve the Lord. And the Beatitudes emphasize clearly That is, only those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger, those who are persecuted, that are blessed, because they are acknowledging that God is their help, that God is their deliverer. May the Lord give us a humble heart in order to acknowledge that it is not because of our works of righteousness that we have been saved, but it is because of the love, the mercy, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel that we find in Matthew 5. We confess our sins, O Lord. We confess how arrogant we are many times, how proud we are. And when we are doing that, we are just denying the essence of the gospel, in which we learn that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, those who were lost, who were helpless. So then we pray that you help us to see your grace and mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that in spite of ourselves, we already belong to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.